Beloved friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God, who is with those in need. Amen. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" And the man, knowing the answer, said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to the lawyer, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But, wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Who is my neighbor? The lawyer asks, just like we are asking this summer. And just like us, he has good intentions and is genuinely curious because he wants to get it right. The lawyer is a student of the law, of right and wrong, and he is doing what he has been trained to do, to keep asking questions, keep acquiring information and getting the facts so that he can point to one clear, indisputable answer. You see, lawyers like clear answers. I'm married to one. I like clear answers too. How about you? When something is important to us, you know, like the lawyer, eternal life, we don't like to be given vague answers or riddles or shrugged shoulders or even worse, a question in return. What do you think? The lawyer wanted to drill down to find a clear-cut answer that would hold true for all time, in all places, in all circumstances. He wanted to make sure there weren't any loopholes, there weren't any exceptions, and that he knows what is expected of him. Isn't that what most of us would want? The answer. "Just so I'm clear, teacher," I imagine him saying, "just one more follow-up question. Who is my neighbor?" We started that very question last week and will continue for the next several weeks. And there are many ways to answer that question. Last week, we talked about newcomers. This week, those in need, those who are close to home and far away, those who live in urban places or rural, the young, the old, the list goes on, and all of these answers are correct. We come here looking for clear-cut answers, just like the lawyer. But Jesus doesn't always give us what we expect. Instead, Jesus pulls us close and tells us a story. Man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him and beat him and left him for dead on the side of the road. A priest was going down the road and he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and water on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Friends, this isn't just a moralistic story about helping out here and there. As much as we keep asking Jesus to drill down and give us just one clear answer, Jesus tells stories to keep stretching us and our attention wider and bigger and more expansive as a reflection of God's love and grace. As I've been thinking about neighbors in need this week, I see needs all over the place. This week I read that over the last 4 years, About 12% of Venezuelans have emigrated, a risky endeavor, to flee from that country's worst economic crisis in history. Many of them have died, trying to get to a safer, better life. Neighbors in need. Currently, there are more than 1,000 cases of advanced black lung disease in Appalachia's coal miners, an outbreak that's 10 times more severe than regulators had originally thought. And yet, regulators recently testified that the regulations are sufficient and they're not willing to make changes, even in the midst of this epidemic affecting miners who are already struggling. Neighbors in need. Our current administration said this week that immigrant children detained by our government do not need to be provided toothpaste, soap, or blankets, saying that the guidelines aren't clear as to what constitutes safe and sanitary conditions. Children, babies, toddlers, big kids are being held in filthy and dire conditions by our government, and there's no immediate plans to change that. Neighbors in need. These are just stories from this week that caught my attention, but we all know neighbors in need in our own personal lives. Neighbors suffering because of financial hardship, health challenges, addictions, grief. Need is all around us, and when we see it, we can get a little angry, and we can get heartsick, and maybe we get overwhelmed like the lawyer, and we just want Jesus to tell us exactly what to do. And Jesus pulls us close and tells us a story. Jesus keeps stretching us and our attention to be wider and bigger and more expansive as a reflection of God's love and grace. So looking at the story, I want us to be clear about what Jesus is telling us and the lawyer, and what Jesus is not telling us. Let's listen again. The lawyer answered Jesus' question about which man was a neighbor to the man in need by saying, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Jesus did not say, "Did you check out that man's record before attempting to help? Does he have a GED or a PhD? Is she your race? Was she wearing what you considered to be appropriate clothing? Are they gay or are they straight? Do they actually live in your neighborhood, like on your street? Do you feel like it's a convenient time to help, or is your to-do list too long?" In our gospel story today, none of this comes up. Jesus doesn't put any qualifiers on any of this, because God's mercy includes all of us. Jesus keeps stretching us and our attention to be wider and bigger and more expansive, because that's what God's love looks like. Jesus calls us to come close to see all who are made in the image of God as a neighbor. The story of the Good Samaritan is a familiar one to us, but it isn't an old one, because we know it's a living word for us and our faith today. How is the Holy Spirit using this story to stretch you and your attention? Maybe the Spirit is prodding us to ask ourselves some new questions as we think about our neighbors in need. Here are a few questions we might want to consider together. How do we as a society rob each other of life? How do we as a society leave others on the side of the road? How do we as a society cross the street when racism and violence and injustice pass by without even a break in our step? How do we keep our distance to that which makes us uncomfortable? And why is the road more dangerous for some? Simply because of who they are. Of course, asking these questions means that we need to look, to see, to come close when maybe we don't want to, when maybe we would rather keep our hands clean. It means challenging our assumptions and recognizing our privilege, engaging in new behaviors. It means standing up and speaking out against bullying words and policies, and then also listening to histories that are different from our own, and owning the ways that we have been complicit in oppression. It means handing the mic over to voices that have been silenced for far too long. And friends, none of these things are easy. And none of them are reasons enough to look away. We keep asking, because like the lawyer, we want to get it right. Because it matters. Because our neighbors matter. So what do you think? Do you think that we can come a little closer? Can we make the road a little safer? Jesus pulls us close to show us how it's done. May God give us the strength that we need to come close to one another in times of need, and may we be reflections of God's love for us, for one another. Amen.